From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. With many end-of-the-year gatherings canceled or scaled back, holiday movies are having a moment. Many Americans are finding solace in these predictable plots that always end well and play out amid festive settings. Still, this year, some holiday movies are being refreshed. While the same themes prevail, family reconciliation, Christmas miracles, romance, the settings and characters are starting to more reflect the values and interests of modern audiences. Today in The Exchange, we're talking about holiday movies. And listeners, what's your favorite? What drives you crazy about these films? And what do these cozy stories mean to you, especially right now? Join us. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. Again, 800-892-6477. Our guests are Mary Carver, host of The Couch with Mary Carver, a podcast on pop culture and why it matters, including her series Hooked on Holiday Movies. And Mary joins us from Kansas City, Missouri. Joining us from Keene is Tom Cook, film professor at Keene State College. Tom used to work in the film and TV industry. A huge welcome to both of you. I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And Mary, the big question is, why are these movies so popular right now?
Well, Laura, I think that you said exactly what it is. It's a hard time right now. And I think that people love these cheesy, formulaic holiday movies in any season, in any year, because it is our comfort food. And if ever there was a time for comfort food, it is 2020, right?
Have you found yourself watching more, Mary?
Well, yes, I have definitely watched more. I mean, some of that is, it's, for work. But yeah, I don't want to watch something new that I have to think about. I don't want to watch something that stresses me out. I want to watch something where everything's familiar. Maybe it looks a little different. Maybe it feels a slight bit different, but it's familiar enough that I'm comfortable, I'm warm, and I know at the end it's going to be resolved and everyone's going to be happy. And that is something we are all longing for right now.
Right. And you can enjoy the story and wonder, okay, well, what's he going to do there or what's she going to do there? But you know, at the bottom of your heart, it's going to work out okay. Tom, how about you? Why are these movies people are just gobbling these up right now?
Well, I'll just sit back and listen because Mary hit it on the head. It's exactly that, with all of the crises and everything we've gone through, 2020 being so unusual in the strife, that social strife and world turmoil, it's exactly what Mary said. It's nice to know that you can start a film or a story and people are having trouble there, but it's all going to work out well. Everybody's going to end up happy. That's one of the things that's most important for Hollywood. And we're not necessarily talking about Hollywood films, because so many of these venues where we're seeing, like, the Hallmarks and the different types of romantic comedies in many respects on the Hollywood films, they end up happy, and that's what we want to be reassured. I think we hearken back to our childhood where we were all cozied up with our parents and there were no troubles. And I think that's why these are so popular right now.
Yeah, and I myself have been watching more simply because normally this time of year I'd be going to Christmas concerts and parties, and guess what? I'm not doing that. So, why not pull out the list that Mary has provided us and watch some of those. Mary, what are the fundamentals of your standard holiday movie, no matter what the setting, no matter what the characters? What do you you have to include here?
Well, you can expect that you're going to start out with the most beautiful shot of either the big city or the small town. And then you're going to meet your characters. One of them is probably very businessy business, and the other is, small hometown guy or gal. Not always, but often. No matter what, there's going to be the traditional meet cute. They run into each other. Someone sets them up. They're forced to work together on a project at work. But whatever it is, they meet in what's supposed to be an unusual manner. But if you've watched more than two of these movies, you know it's just just how it goes. And then something comes up. It's a problem. It's a project. It's a party that must be planned for Christmas Eve. And they are forced to spend time together. And for some reason, no matter what it is they're working on, it almost always involves picking out and decorating a Christmas tree, participating in a snowball fight, like grown adults participating in a snowball fight. The lead female typically trips and falls, and the guy catches her, and it's very romantic. you know, so they do all of these stereotypical Christmas activities. They bake cookies, someone gets flour on their face. They do all these things. And as they're doing these things, they start to connect. They develop a relationship very quickly. And then toward the end of the movie, about the, you know, if you're watching it with commercials, an hour 45, there's a misunderstanding. It's usually because they have not communicated like adults, or it could just be because their lives are incompatible. One's going, you know, one direction, the other's going another. And so there's a big misunderstanding and everything is called off. But then, of course, in the last few minutes, like literally the last two or three minutes of a movie, they get back together. Everything is reconciled. Everything is solved. And they kiss, fade to black.
So those are the Christmas romance movies. And boy, there are a lot of them. But Tom, there's also sort of a genre of movies about belief in miracles, and you know, whether you're religious or not, the idea that Christmas is a time when miracles can happen. So how often do you see that theme, Tom, kind of reflected in these movies?
Well, that's one of the things I was going to comment on in the last question. Mary got into a lot of the real specifics and nuts and bolts of the story on a more broader sense. I see the standard Hollywood movie needing, it's about interpersonal relationships mending or reaffirming, families rediscovering themselves. As she said, any story needs conflict because that's what makes them interesting, and we have a happy ending. But you mentioned, for some reason, as I was thinking about that and listening to Mary's response, I was looking for some kind of element of magic. And I'm not saying that religion is magical, but I think, not to be too negative about Hollywood, but my time in Hollywood, I think we all know it's about one thing, and that's money. And so you need to find the widest audience you can traditionally. But with these new streaming services and I think places like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and all of these different venues, let filmmakers have an opportunity to try something different. And so appeal to different audiences. So it may not necessarily have to be religiously based or traditional Christian holiday stories. I think it gives them the opportunity to try new things and find new audiences, if that answers your question.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned all the streaming services. It just seems like there's dozens and dozens and dozens of these movies now, maybe hundreds and hundreds, Mary. And Tom's right, you know, all these platforms have given producers sort of new ways to tweak this familiar, comfortable theme. What's new, Mary, with holiday movies?
Well, we are definitely seeing, I liked how you said it at the beginning, you said that they're being refreshed, because we certainly can't say for the most part that these movies are being overhauled. I mean, they're still largely the same, but we are seeing, Netflix started airing their original holiday movies two or three years ago. And you can see that they're just a little bit, the Hallmark audience would probably say they're edgier, but I think most of us would say they're just a little bit more realistic. And by realistic, I mean how the characters interact, not necessarily whether elves are real. So you suspend your disbelief, but then you still want your characters to interact in a realistic manner, right?
Yeah.
So we're seeing that on, you know, in some of these different outlets. And then, you know, I think we'll get into it later, but there has been a move toward more diversity and inclusivity so that these movies represent more than just the white heteronormative family. And that's fantastic. And it's definitely baby steps at this point, but we're seeing that. And then just in general, I've seen, especially in the Hallmark Channel, because they are the big hitters. This year I've seen a little more, you know, I haven't taken a film studies class, much less taught one. So Tom may be able to explain this better if he knows what I'm talking about. But I've seen a little bit more gravity to the movies. So 10 years ago, Hallmark Christmas movies were the cheesy, corny, heavy-handed, pull at your heartstrings every minute type of movie. I personally don't care for those. In the past several years, they've taken a turn toward more romantic comedies. And they're lighthearted, and they're silly, and they're funny, and they do have some of the elements of magic to them. Some of them do. But this year, I've seen kind of a welcome turn toward just having a little bit more weight. Like maybe there's not quite as much dialogue. They just give it a little bit more space for you to see more authentic emotion from the characters. And I think that's a great change to see in general, but also it's a great change to see in this year that has been so heavy itself.
Well, and I'm going to ask both of you in a few minutes about some of those newer movies that do show more diverse casts, mm-hmm. in terms of race and ethnicity, also with gay characters, and, you know, beyond the sort of standard, like, here's the gay friend and here's the black friend of the lead white character who we see, you know, in a lot of these movies, but where people of color and LGBTQ folk having leading roles. So I definitely want to talk to you about that because, you know, the holidays are for everybody, right? So why not holiday movies? But I want to share some emails that have already come in from our listeners, and this is great. And again, we want to hear from you today. Tell us what your favorite holiday movie is. Tell us what new movies maybe you've been watching, because as our guests tell us, things are changing and getting broader in terms of who gets to tell the holiday story. Our number is always 800-892-6477, 800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Also, if you're listening and you're thinking, wow, I'd kind of like to refresh my holiday standards, we will have a guide for you on how to find the movies that we're going to talk about a little bit later today. It's on our website, nhpr.org/exchange. So if we mention a movie and you think, wow, that sounds great, we'll have it there on the website, including telling you where you can find it, because there are a lot of streaming services, and sometimes it's hard to figure out where you're supposed to see this thing. So again, go to our website later, nhpr.org/exchange. Right now, though, Tom and Mary, I want to share some emails with you. Kathy in Conway says, many years ago, my grown children and I started watching The Grinch with Jim Carrey every Christmas Eve. Lots of lessons and humor packed into that film. The results of bullying, the foolishness of focusing on material things, the value of kindness, for example. Kathy says, with one daughter in London and one in Connecticut, I guarantee we will all connect by watching The Grinch on the 24th. Oh, Kathy, that's great. I just have this vision of her in Conway and her daughter's far away. I got to say, Tom, that is not one that I have seen. The Grinch with Jim Carrey, just, you know, before the pandemic, life used to be busy. So what about that movie, Tom?
He's a tremendously versatile actor. And I think, while I wasn't crazy about The Grinch, Carrey's version when it first came out, I've really grown to respect it. It's visually just a stunning film to look at, and all of the qualities that the listener discusses are there. It's a real family kind of a film. When you say Grinch, I'm old enough to immediately think of the Boris Karloff animated version, but anymore, I do think back, think of the Jim Carrey version. It's a terrific film, and it's he really stands out. I think he's been an underappreciated actor, although he's been in some tremendous stuff. I think that's one of the things that, if you haven't seen it, Laura, I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I've got my list going, so I can add that one. Michael sent us an email. He says, every year without fail, we watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. My family loves that movie. We have a set of the Moose Eggnog Cups, and my house is decorated in very Griswold-esque light display. I learned everything I know about exterior illumination from that movie. This year, I added a 6-foot-tall Clark Griswold cardboard cutout who peers out my window at the few drivers and brave dog walkers who live on my rural road. If it elicits a chuckle or adds to their enjoyment of the holidays, it was worth the effort, especially this year. And Michael, that is great. And I want to let you know that every year, the Friday after Thanksgiving, that's what we do. We watch that movie, and it has to be on that Friday. But I don't have the Moose Eggnog cups, Michael, so you're a bigger fan than me. So thank you very much for writing in. Mary, have you seen that movie? If you haven't, you should. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I know, I haven't seen it for a while, but this year, I have two daughters, 13 and 6, and all of a sudden, my 13-year-old keeps hearing, you know, her friends talking about it. She's like, Mom, what is this Christmas Vacation movie? And she's, you know, implying that I've let her down by not showing it to her. But I'm like, your sister is 6.
Yeah, I remember watching it when my kids were little, and I would have to say, if I hear you repeating those swear words, I will not let you watch it.
Exactly.
That was a while ago. But, you know, Michael, our emailer, included a photo of his Clark Griswold cutout figure, which our producer, Jessica Hunt, will put on the website. Michael, you made my day, because this is the one movie where I will absolutely watch every year. So that's great. I'm so glad you wrote. Scott writes in, I just wanted to recommend Last Christmas, starring Emilia Clarke. Mm-hmm. It is really a good modern rom-com mm-hmm. with a twist. I've never seen a movie which makes it stand out. My wife and I loved this movie. Okay, so I'm hearing noises of acknowledgement from the two of you. Mary, do you know this movie?
Yes, it was so good. Actually, this is what I did for my birthday last year. I have a December birthday, and I went to see this movie with some friends because I was so excited about it, and it lived up to my expectations. It is sweet. It is funny. It is not, it's not a Hallmark movie, and my friends with me said they saw the twist coming. I did not.
The plot twist that Scott writes about.
Exactly. I was along for the ride, and I was shocked to tears. I loved it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for writing, Scott. You put another one on my list, so I appreciate that. Let's take a call. Karen's in New Boston. Hi, Karen. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually don't even watch the Hallmark movies, but when I was listening to you guys talk about how they wrap up so quickly, I thought, oh, that's just like Star Trek episodes, because my brother and my husband watch Star Trek episodes, and I'm always like, in the last 5 minutes, how are they going to wrap up this issue, this episode? So I was like, oh, there's some parallels between Star Trek and Hallmark.
Right. So, Karen, do you watch any Christmas movies, or is this not your thing?
You know, I've watched the occasional ones like the Christmas Vacation and stuff, but I haven't watched. Yeah, I don't watch the Hallmark ones. I usually don't have time.
All right. Well, this year, maybe you do have more time. We'll
see. Maybe Last Christmas. Sounds like a good suggestion. I may watch that one.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Karen. I usually don't have time to sit down and just binge watch Christmas movies, but this year, why not? Thank you for calling in. And, you know, I want to turn to you, Tom. A lot of these movies do sort of feature a female lead, sort of finding romance. As Mary said earlier, a lot of these movies, not all of them, but a lot of them end with a kiss or a wedding. What about movies, Tom, that don't end with a kiss or a wedding? Are there sort of holiday movies that, I don't know, have sort of a different reason for being?
Different reason for being. When we were talking about what's new in some of the holiday films that are coming out, one of the things I was going to comment on, Laura, you already mentioned a lot of more films with characters of color and LGBTQ, but I'm seeing more films with strong leading roles for women. I co-teach a class called Cinema and Diversity, where we take a look at the trends in motion pictures and how they incorporate other races, ethnicities, social backgrounds, things like that. I think if you're asking about like a happy ending, I think that's what we seek from, and we talked about this already, that's what we seek from a lot of kind of comfort food, to use Mary's term, holiday films. And so, unless we're talking about like Christmas Armageddon or something like that from the Hollywood things, I can't necessarily think of one that doesn't follow, that we think of a traditional Hollywood film that doesn't follow these, for want of a better term, kind of formulaic roles where, as we've talked about, strife characters having trouble. They come to it at the end and may not end in a kiss, but it does end happily.
Isn't there a Die Hard movie, Tom, that has to do with Christmas?
If we were going to talk about guilty pleasures, Die Hard's one of my favorite Christmas movies, absolutely. The first Die Hard took place during Christmas.
I had no idea that Die Hard was a Christmas movie. So that sounds like it has the potential, Tom, to be Christmas Armageddon, no?
Well, it ends happily and with a bloody kiss after Don McLean has killed everybody and his wife, they reconcile and come back together and it all ends happily.
Wow, that's really interesting. And that's, again, something I did not know. You know, Mary, I'm struck by the fact that Tom teaches a class on cinema and diversity. And I know this is a big topic out there these days. So what are sort of the movie critics and the movie producers saying about their efforts to increase diversity in these cozy Christmas movies?
Well, I think that the movie producers and the movie critics are saying different things. For the past several years, when I've been doing this series, Hooked on Holiday Movies, my partner that I do the series with, Anna and I have always, I wouldn't say we've harped on it, but every time we've done a podcast episode or a Facebook Live, we've tried to include a diversity check when we review a movie, because it needs to be said, yeah, we love this movie. It was super fun. Or, you know, hey, this one was boring, but also every single character was white. So just take note. And I think we're not alone in that. Critics have been, critical of Hallmark and the like for not being more diverse. On the other hand, the actual makers of these movies have been saying, oh, we're trying, we're doing our best, we're going to do better, we're going to do better. And it's just been real slow to actually develop. But this year, we've seen some significant movement in that direction. But again, I think that the two sides are saying different things, whereas the people making the movies are saying, see how well we're doing. And the critics are saying, okay, it's about time.
Yeah, well, and perhaps movie production was impacted somehow by the pandemic. I mean, after a short break, yeah. I want to ask both of you about how some of these newer movies might have been made in a pandemic. And we'll also talk more about those diversity efforts that the movies are promoting that, as you said, Mary, critics are saying, okay, but still not really there, reflecting the reality of America these days. I also will start to get into some of the movies that you guys love, whether it's a classic, whether it's some of these newer movies displaying a more diverse cast. So listeners, get pen and paper out, because we're going to name a lot of movies coming up. Stay with us. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, holiday movies, your guide to all that's out there and how some in this well-tread genre are getting updated. We're hearing about that. Tell us what your favorite holiday film is. Email us at exchange@nhpr.org. You can use Facebook or you can give us a call, 800-892-6477. Also, listeners, our producer Jessica Hunt is putting all the movies mentioned during our show, plus a guide on how to find them on our website, at nhpr.org/exchange. So you should definitely check that out. Right now, we're talking with Mary Carver, host of the Couch with Mary Carver podcast on pop culture and why it matters, including her series Hooked on Holiday Movies. Also, Tom Cook is with us, film professor at Keene State College. He used to work in the film and TV industry. And both of you, right back to our listeners. Steve is calling in. Hi, Steve, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I teach a class to Ali, shout out Ali, called Madness in the Movies. And our favorite movie this time of year is It's a Wonderful Life. It deals with mental health and, yes, suicide. But it was such an uplifting movie. Stewart does such a great job of acting. And I feel every year I hear the bells and I get my wings.
Oh, that's great, Steve. And Tom, I'll turn to you. I mean, for some people, It's a Wonderful Life is the Christmas movie that they have to watch. So I'm wondering if that's the case for you, Tom.
It's not my personal favorite. We can talk about like great films, and I think if there's one that I have to recommend, boy, you're going to have to go out and see the truly classic Christmas film. That would be it, unquestionably. Yeah. Stewart is terrific. I think he was well cast. And it's just a tremendously uplifting film. And the caller's right that it deals with some surprisingly even current topics today with depression and potential suicide issues. But you see the characters and the community come together to support an individual. And it's just truly a terrific film. It's my wife's favorite.
Oh, that's great. Well, and it features an angel. And some of the other movies that you've talked about, Mary, feature ghosts. I mean, A Christmas Carol, obviously, the original ghost Christmas movie. But what about that sort of supernatural, magical element, Mary, in some of these movies?
Well, I think over the last few years, I've gotten a little bit away from the magical elements of these movies. And they're more grounded in reality. Please assume that I'm using air quotes around that. But I personally love, because here's the thing, none of these movies, not a single one, is realistic. And so I say, if you're not going to be realistic, why not throw in a Santa? Why not throw in a ghost or an angel, or I don't know, all three? Maybe not all three. That would be a little bit much. But yeah, a lot of these movies have, and it's not most of them, when we're talking about the made-for-TV holiday movies, it's not a huge part of the story, and it's not, they're not most of the time, they're not hitting you over the head with it. It's more like a nod to it, or it's a subtle thing. But sometimes, yeah, you know, a ghost or an angel, what, they're the main character.
There were a couple movies I was just, again, looking at trailers this morning, and one of the ones that has to do with sort of a ghost, or not a ghost, but time traveling. There was one I was looking at, The Night Before Christmas, Night with a K. And so that was the first time I had seen time travel, which it's a pretty familiar theme for books and movies, but that was the first time I had seen time travel played out in a Christmas movie. So I think that's the one I'm going to watch. It looked pretty charming. Sarah in Concord wrote in, the most underrated Christmas movie is Arthur Christmas. My 14-year-old has aged out of most cartoons, and we will still watch this one. It's got it all. Sarah, thank you for writing. William says, one of my favorite Christmas films is Bad Santa, which I watch every year around this time. It's the perfect antidote for the glistening, saccharine presentation of the season depicted in so many Christmas films, and a good reminder that not everyone has an idyllic family unit with whom to share the magic of the holiday. Also, Billy Bob Thornton is solid gold as the lead. It's crass, but it makes me laugh until my sides hurt every year. William, I'm putting that on my list because, boy, we could all use a good laugh. Tom, is Bad Santa on one of your lists?
It's certainly on one of my guilty pleasures. I love
Billy
Bob Thornton, and it is a dark, not a dark, but it is kind of a more grim look at, if you don't like the holidays, then this is one that might appeal to you. But it too has a happy ending and ends up kind of pleasantly, I think. But yeah. I very much enjoy Bad Santa.
Well, and Mary, you talked earlier about, again, producer efforts, maybe not enough, but producer efforts to bring movies to the small screen that show a more diverse cast. In this category, Mary, what are some of your favorites?
Okay, well,
there's a lot.
I have to say, there are a lot because they are making a lot of small efforts. So when we're talking about holiday movies of this ilk, we're really talking about Hallmark and Lifetime. They're the big players. This year, Hallmark put out 40 new holiday movies. Lifetime, I think maybe it's close to 30. I think they started with like, I don't know. Anyway, close to 30. So 70 of these movies. I really like a lot of them on Hallmark. I feel like they had already started before 2020. They had already begun putting out movies that show a lot more diversity and inclusivity. So they were ahead of the game. Well, they weren't ahead of the game because they're all behind, but you know what I mean? They were ahead of Hallmark. So Hallmark did have some. They had a movie called The Christmas House, where it's a family movie. There are three main couples. One of them is a same-sex couple. They have a few movies where the two main characters are both Black. And then they have actually a few movies where it's an interracial couple, which prior to this year, rumor had it that that was not allowed at Hallmark for their movies, which is outrageous. So those are the differences we're seeing on Hallmark. My favorite movies showing diversity this year have all been on Lifetime, though.
There's That's one interesting. Called
Christmas- yeah, yeah. I want to give more kudos to Hallmark, but I can't deny it. I love these Hallmark these Lifetime movies. The Christmas Setup is in my top five of all the movies I've seen so far this year. It's about a guy who comes home from the big city. And his mom sets him up with another guy who lives there in town. And it is adorable. It is, I didn't find it to be cheesy. Of course, it's predictable in that you can assume there's going to be a happy ending. But it was actually refreshing, to go back to the word we talked about earlier. I really, really liked it. Even to the point that Fran Drescher plays the mom in this movie. And I thought, oh, do I want to watch 2 hours of Fran Drescher? And you know what? She was perfect.
What's
she was
the movie?
Perfect as the supportive, but also kind of meddling mom. It was, I just can't say enough about it. The Christmas Setup on Lifetime is fantastic.
And what's the movie, Mary, that everybody's talking about? I think it's on Hulu, Happiest Season.
Yes,
that also has a same-sex couple, two women. That's gotten a lot of headlines. Tell us a little bit more about that, Mary.
Well, that is about a young woman who takes her girlfriend back home to spend the holidays with her family. While they're on their way, she says, oh yeah, by the way, my parents don't know that I'm gay. And so her girlfriend, who's played by Kristen Stewart, is kind of forced into pretending to be her straight roommate and friend. And so of course, you know, when anyone's pretending to be someone they're not in a movie, hijinks ensue. But it's also really emotional.
And a snowball fight. No.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's also really emotional because this is a real hard thing that people face. And it's not easily tied up in a bow. It's messy and it's hard for everyone involved. And I mean, I don't know from my own personal experience, but I feel like they did a pretty good job of representing that. And also, the movie has a fantastic cast. As I mentioned, Kristen Stewart plays one of the lead characters. Aubrey Plaza is an ex-girlfriend who's there in the hometown. The dad is played by Victor Garber. Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek is her best friend. And he is, I mean, perfection. So it's a great cast. It's a harder watch than something you're going to find on Hallmark or Lifetime or even Netflix. But I think it's worth it for sure.
Reflecting the huge interest in these movies this year, again, with people's parties and gatherings canceled and people finding themselves with more time at home, we have so many comments from our listeners that I want to go to. And Alden is calling from Concord. Hi, Alden. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. I'm so happy that you let me on. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead, Alden.
Well, I have, in my house, there are a handful of Christmas movies we have to watch every year. Every Christmas Eve, we have to watch the Alistair Sim Christmas Carol. When we're putting up the tree, we have to watch the Santa Claus. The first thing we watch is Miracle on 34th Street, because that has the Thanksgiving Day Parade. And we also have to watch the Grinch and the SpongeBob special. But I'd like to particularly shout out one Christmas special. Perhaps in some ways only Christmas thematically, but I can't get enough of it, and I think that everybody should give it a chance if they think they'd be in the mood. It's a short film, only about an hour long, called Secrets and Lies in a Town Full of Sinners.
That sounds very un-Christmassy, Alden. What's Christmassy about it?
it's Christmassy in theme. It has a depiction of the nation.
Okay, Alden, I think we're losing you there. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm terribly. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Yeah, it's technology. Sometimes it doesn't work right. Go ahead, Alden.
Secrets and Lies in a Town Full of Sinners is this short 50-minute animated film. It's even been split up into several episodes. It's by a woman named Joni Phillips, and she is perhaps what I consider the best independent filmmaker alive. Just absolutely fluid, cartoony animation. Not perhaps something that you would want to show to your kids. It's got a bit of swearing and themes, but it's much like Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks. I don't think that I'm going to be able to do any justice. There are themes of aliens. There are themes of death. And it's all weird and wacky and not something that I know how to explain to people. It's just something that absolutely I enjoy.
Well, we'll have to watch it then, Alden. And I'm putting it on my list. And Jessica Hunt, our producer, again, is going to put everything that comes up during the show on her list. So Aliens on Christmas. I'm intrigued. So thanks for calling. And Adam and Lee is also calling in. Go ahead, Adam. You're on the air.
Hi. So glad to call. Because I've got another postmodern Christmas story. And it's Gremlins.
Gremlins.
Sure. Sure.
Gremlins. From the 80s is a great Christmas movie. The very basis of the plot is a distant, emotionally detached father tries to find a special Christmas present for his teenage son, which leads him to buy a magical creature which has way more strings attached and is very, very complicated. Really makes a whole comment on our approach to Christmas and the materialism and how complicated that makes all of our lives. And there's a subplot in which the girlfriend of the main character has a very dark kind of Christmas story that makes you think twice about how we all recognize the holiday.
Wow. And give us the name again, Adam, please.
Gremlins.
Gremlins. Okay. Tom or Mary, any thoughts on either of these movies that our callers have mentioned? Tom, how about you? Gremlins. Gremlins on Christmas, Aliens on Christmas.
Yeah, it's a pretty well-known Joe Dante film. And this is where they've got, and this was, it's funny that the caller talks about how the story, the film itself, does talk about commercialization of Christmas, because when the film came out, you could buy all sorts of gremlin stuff, little bitty gremlins. You're not supposed to feed them after midnight or get them wet. But it's a very popular, kind of a darker story. And he does talk about Phoebe Cates plays our lead's girlfriend. And it does get into some surprisingly more serious elements. But it's not one of those, when you think about Christmas films, normally you would think of. But it is, again, it takes place during Christmas. And that's one of the ones that's on my list.
Wow. And Mary, I wanted to ask you about a movie that is new and that I just watched and sort of combines all sorts of new elements, even though the themes are the same: family reconciliation, belief in miracles. And that's Jingle Jangle. A lot of people are calling this the top black Christmas movie of the year. I just watched it on Friday. I was just utterly captivated. Just give us a little taste of that movie, Mary, Jingle Jangle.
Oh, man, it is so fun. It is such a fun movie. I watched it with my kids. We loved it. I mean, I actually loved it more than they did, but they loved it too. It's about a man who is a toy maker, and his apprentice steals all of his ideas and goes off to make his own toy store. And the original guy can't think of any ideas. His magic is gone. And so he just falls on hard times, and then his wife passes away. He's not a good dad anymore, loses touch with his daughter. Flash forward to the present, and his granddaughter comes to visit him. And she, as it turns out, has the same sort of magical abilities and brilliant mind that he did. And so she decides to help him and fix up an old broken toy that they find in his workshop to save his shop, because the bank is going to close it down after all these years. And so it's really about, I mean, it's about, you know, saving the store from the bank, but it's about the family coming back together. It's about the grandpa rediscovering his magic and the magic around him. It's about that apprentice who did something so terrible, you know, getting what he deserves. And it's a musical and it's just fantastic. I think that the person who did the music for Jingle Jangle played a big part in the music for The Greatest Showman. Oh, so if you liked that music,
yeah.
And if you're looking for more people of color, have we got a show for you.
Yeah. And you know, I was so struck by that movie because you're right. You know, all the Christmas themes are there, right? Like no surprise, yes. The granddaughter pulling together the estranged father and daughter, saving the family business by Christmas. You know, that's showed up once or twice before, right? But the costumes are kind of Dickensian, but also kind of steampunk and very colorful. And the dancing, you know, could have been on TikTok yesterday. You know, it's very fresh, right. Contemporary. So you're seeing these people dressed up like, you know, 17th or 18th century England, and then they're breaking out in these fabulous dance numbers. So I thought that was like, that was a really good refresh on some of the old themes, even though, you know, it still has a cozy ending and everything turns out well. Couple more recommendations from our listeners. Lauren in Durham says, my personal favorite is White Christmas with Danny Kaye, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, and Vera Ellen. What I love about it is the theme of helping a friend and finding ways to bring people together. Plus, Danny Kaye is amazing. Lauren also says, though, the Hallmark movies are nauseating in their sappiness. Their phony inclusivity has Jewish characters learning to love and integrate Christmas. Extremely light-skinned Black or Hispanic people who otherwise exist in an entirely white world. And Lauren, I'm so glad you wrote, because after a break, we're going to talk about holiday movies, Christmas movies, for people who don't celebrate Christmas. So thank you for writing in, Lauren. We will be right back. We can take a short break. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. This hour, holiday movies. Listeners, let's hear from you. What are your favorites? What drives you crazy about these movies? And do you find yourself, like me, watching more of these movies this year? Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. You can use Facebook. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Our guests are Tom Cook, film professor at Keene State College, and Mary Carver, host of The Couch with Mary Carver, a podcast on pop culture and why it matters. And both of you, just before the break, we heard from Lauren in Durham, who says she's tired of Hallmark's, quote, phony inclusivity as Jewish characters learn to love Christmas. And Mary, I got to ask you about this real quick. Are there any good Hanukkah movies or Kwanzaa movies or solstice movies out there? Or is it all about the Christmas tree?
Well, okay, first of all, I do not know of any Kwanzaa or solstice holiday movies. Certainly not on Hallmark or Lifetime. There have been a handful of movies that feature or include Hanukkah. There's one this year. There were two or three last year. And so I'm not Jewish. I am Christian. But from my perspective, the plot is actually more that they're teaching the audience about Hanukkah through the characters. And then, yes, sometimes the Jewish characters are learning about Christmas as if they have never heard of it before, which I find to be a strange take on what might actually happen, because not to assume that everyone knows my culture, but I feel like Christmas is pretty pervasive, and that even if you're Jewish, you've heard of a Christmas tree. I could be wrong.
I think if you live in America, you've been exposed to it once or twice. There was one movie, I think. Yeah, go ahead, Mary.
Oh, I was just going to say, I will absolutely acknowledge that they are a little bit condescending, I think, I'd like to think that the intentions are good, that they're trying to be more inclusive. They just don't know how, but I am probably being more generous because Hanukkah is not my holiday. And so, yeah, it's a bit of a rough go if that's what you celebrate.
Well, and there's one new one called Love Lights Hanukkah, where a woman does one of those, you know, genetics tests or DNA tests that are available and discovers she's half Jewish. And of course, then she meets this Jewish guy and, you know, falls in love and has a wonderful Hanukkah celebration with his family. And there's probably a snowball fight in there somewhere as well. So that's one of the ones that I've been reading about. I want to go back to our listeners. Elsa is in Kingston. Hi, Elsa. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to put a vote in for Carlo Minotti's The Mall and the Night Visitors. I know it's a play that's been filmed. There are three or four different film versions of it. The one in 78 is the one I'm really familiar with. But this was something we listened to on record and watched on TV every year with my family growing up.
Oh, Elsa, I'm glad you called. Some beautiful music in that movie, Amal and the Night Visitors. So thank you for that one. Peggy recommends my all-time favorite is Scrooge, the 1951 version with Alastair Sim. Timeless, always relevant. Just want to do a little plug here and let listeners know that we will be airing on Christmas my interview with Gerald Charles Dickens, who is the great-great-great-grandson of the Charles Dickens. I interviewed him about a decade ago. It was an amazing interview, and so we do play it every year on Christmas. So we will be playing that again for you on Christmas Day. Thank you for writing in, Peggy. Patty emails, I love Christmas movies. The classics have always been my favorites. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. But Patty says, last year, Netflix's Claus became my absolute favorite. The story, the character development, and the light in this movie has also won my heart. So Patty, thank you for writing in. And then Chris writes, I wanted to give a shout out for one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies, The Ref. Refreshingly dysfunctional characters, whip-smart dialogue, very funny. Tom, a couple of these have come up so far this hour, which is great. The Ref, Bad Santa, Secrets and Lies, which I think Alden mentioned. Are there other movies that kind of don't have the predictable sort of, you know, romance and a kiss in the snow?
Well, and if we're talking about ones that aren't necessarily strictly about Christmas, some of my favorite kind of have a Christmas holiday feel to them. We talked about Die Hard, one of my favorites. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is set around Thanksgiving, but it's a lot of fun. Edward Scissorhands. Strangely enough, The Apartment, if you remember Jack Lemmon, film is set around that. But one of my favorites from the past like 20-30 years is a rather it's a somewhat dark story about a British gentleman who is hooked on heroin and has to try to overcome this, and it takes place around the holidays, and he picks up a street cat named Bob, and that's the name of the film, A Street Cat Named Bob, and the two of them help each other out in finding out, it sounds stupid, but what love and life and family is all about.
Well, and full disclosure, Tom, you loaned me that movie a couple of years ago, and A Street Cat Named Bob, and I loved it. And you're right, it is kind of a Christmas movie. It's actually got all the elements. It's friendship, it's family reconciliation, it's hard times, it happens around the holidays, and it starts hard. I mean, the young man is addicted to heroin, and it's about this cat who, you know, helps him figure it out. We have two cats, so full disclosure there too. I love this movie,
it has nothing to do with the fact that the cat looks just like my cat either. So, yeah.
No, but I'm glad you mentioned that because it doesn't fit sort of the Christmas movie like some of these other movies we're talking about. But it's definitely got those themes. So that's great. Doreen is calling from Bedford. Hi, Doreen. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, I haven't heard this movie mentioned yet, but we watched it the other night and absolutely loved it. The title of the movie is It Happened One Christmas, and it's a female lead version of It's a Wonderful Life, and Marlo Thomas plays the lead, and Wayne Rogers, which people may remember him from MASH. He played Trapper on MASH, plays her husband. And it was wonderful. It was just very, very well done, and we loved it. And I haven't heard The Holiday mentioned yet either, and is that's one of my personal favorites and Four Christmases.
Oh, that's great. Doreen, thanks for putting those on our list. We really appreciate it. And again, Jessica Hunt's going to get all the movies listed during the hour on our website later today. So thank you, Doreen. A couple more recommendations from our listeners. Sally wants to recommend Prancer, about a young girl and the reindeer she finds and believes is Prancer and her efforts to reunite him with Santa and the other reindeer. Maureen says, as an Irish former Long Islander, I enjoyed Fitzgerald Family Christmas by Edward Norton. It doesn't follow the typical holiday movie format. Instead, it's an interesting think piece about forgiveness. That's another big theme in a lot of these movies, forgiveness. So thank you for writing, Maureen. Silver Sweet wrote us, I wanted to share a gem of a new holiday movie called The Jinx and Dela Holiday Special that came out during the pandemic. This movie features RuPaul's Drag Race alum, Jinx Monsoon, and Ben de la Creme slinging jokes, trading barbs, celebrating the holiday season. Silver Sweet says, although not for the whole family, if you are an adult who loves comedy and hijinks, I would strongly recommend this. It has definitely made my season brighter. And by the way, this duo that Silver Sweet writes about made an appearance in The Happiest Season, which you talked about earlier, Mary. The tagline for this movie is, there's only room at the table for one Christmas ham. So there you go, breaking all sorts of molds. I'm really glad you wrote, Silver Sweet. You know, before we close out, we just have a couple minutes. And Mary, I really do need to ask you how listeners can find these movies. I mean, you know, there are so many streaming services. Most people don't want to subscribe to five different services. So what is a holiday movie lover to do?
Well, it's tricky because, as I've mentioned, Hallmark is the one who puts out the most holiday movies, and you can, for the most part, only see them on the Hallmark channels if you have cable. And we just don't all have cable.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, Netflix has a pretty decent collection of both original movies and acquired movies. I will say their original movies, the ones that Netflix has made, are much better than the ones that they didn't make. But if you're looking for both more quality and also a little bit, you know, a side of cheese, they've got you covered. And they also have a lot of kids movies. So if you're, you know, watching with your family, they've got a lot of options. Hulu has a handful. I mean, they have their original movie from this year, Happiest Season, and then a handful of other holiday movies. But Amazon Prime, surprisingly, actually has, they have a lot of Lifetime holiday movies that you can watch on Prime. So if you've got Netflix and Prime, you're going to be covered. I mean, of course, Disney Plus has their own, you know, they have a handful of holiday movies. I think pretty much all the streaming services have some, but I would say if you're going to go with two, go with Netflix and Prime.
Well, and Mary, I was really wondering about this as I was watching some of these new movies this weekend. How did producers make these, Mary, you know, big parties, big family dinners, during a pandemic? I mean, this is absolutely 100% against what we are supposed to do if we want to, you know, stop this thing. How do they do it?
Well, what I've heard is that specifically to Hallmark, first of all, when Hallmark makes a movie, they make it, they film it in 15 days, which is bonkers, right? Like, I don't know a lot about making movies, but I'm pretty sure that's not
It doesn't normal. Sound like a long timeline. Yeah.
No, no. So what I've heard is that they quarantined, you know, all the actors quarantined, and then they have to follow all the rules as far as, you know, masking right up until they're filming the scenes. And actually, if you have an eagle eye, you can spot a few masks in some of the Hallmark movies this year where people forgot to take them off.
Okay. Wow. Go ahead.
But yeah, so, you know, they're masking right up until they're filming. They're a lot of the actors did their own hair and makeup, so they weren't in such close contact. I think soap operas, but also I think some of the Hallmark movies, they did like they filmed with their spouse, so it's someone already in their household, or there's like the, like they're kissing a mannequin. You can't tell. There was a Hallmark movie this summer. I heard an interview with one of the actors, and he said, if you look at the scenes, it was a movie about weddings. Like, there are a lot of mannequins in the audience. Like,
you, oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to have to watch these with a more discerning eye.
Well, I tell you what, I kept pausing so I could see it, and I couldn't. There were a couple places where I'm like, is that a real person? I don't know.
Wow. Okay. We could have talked a lot longer, and I could have read many, many more recommendations from our listeners that we didn't have time to get to in the hour that we have, but we'll put those recommendations on the website as well a little bit later today. Jessica Hunt will pull that all together. Again, our website is nhpr.org/exchange. And Tom Cook, it was really great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again in the new year.
Absolutely. Be safe.
That's Tom Cook, film professor at Keene State College. And Mary Carver, wow, it was really nice to have you on today. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
That's Mary Carver, host of The Couch with Mary Carver podcast, including her series Hooked on Holiday Movies. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.